Is this the beginning or the end? Who knows? But what we do know is that this is our final episode for season one. We entered the Twilight Zone and, well, we're still there. But join us for a last look at some topics of listener interest and where we are now versus then. Thank you for hanging in there with us, and welcome to The Twist.
In this first segment, we want to talk about the R word, which is race. We had an email come in. Courtney, did you want to talk about that email that came in?
Yeah, I won't read it word for word, but if I'm understanding it right, and the person who wrote it is welcome to, you know, well, I would ask for this. I would ask for forgiveness if I'm not saying it or if I'm mis-summarizing it. But it basically seemed to say that, you know, they don't agree with racism or anything like that, that, you know, and they would never want anybody to go through that. However, you know, as a person who is not of color, they feel, and they're in Fayetteville, they feel that there's so much animosity going on, like with the protests and things like that, that it is causing more divisiveness than it is bringing people together. And that, you know, as a person who is a white person, that it kind of scares them. Like they're scared because of the protests and things like that that are going on in the area. And we don't live in Fayetteville anymore.
No.
So I don't know how that looks right now, so I can't really speak to it directly. I know that there were protests, peaceful protests, and it seems like that it has gotten some conversation going, but that there were also rioting. And a lot of times we like to make a difference between protesting and rioting. And when I say that, that's me and Atanya like to make a difference between that, because just to clarify, the protests are not the riots. It's separate things. You know, you can protest, and most of the protests have been very peaceful and everything like that. Of course, you can't control everyone and what they do and how they do it. And it seems like a lot of the rioting usually comes towards the tail end of the protest. And despite there being so many peaceful protests, it seems like the rioting has gotten more attention than anything. I'll let Natanya speak on some of it.
On the protesting versus
the
rioting?
Yeah.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. I think that the media is kind of making it that protesters are rioting, when that's not, in fact, always the truth or at all the truth. I, as you guys know, I live in the metro Atlanta area, and as far as I know, of course, I don't know everything, but the riots that happened here were at the very beginning, and they were not done by people that were out there protesting. There were peaceful protests, and there were people that were rioters that came out and rioted. And I also think, Courtney, that one of the things that we wanted to clarify is that there's a Black Lives Matter movement, but there's also a Black Lives Matter organization.
Right. And I'm not one of those people who pretends to understand every single thing, every single nuance. I don't. I don't try to be one of those people. And I'm going to tell you why, because I really don't like being put on the spot as the person to speak for all Black people. Because
right.
one of the biggest things that is important to me is that people understand that Black and Brown people have so much diversity and there's so many nuances that it's impossible to have one person speak for everybody. So when people say, well, why do Black people do this? And why do they think this? And why do they blahzy, blahzy, blah? Some of those generalizations can be made, okay? There's some things that, you know, I might be able to explain, but it's still from my perspective. We have Correct. So many different kinds of ways of living that it's impossible for one person to speak for everyone. And so when you're looking at the news, when you're looking at people protesting, when you look at the different ideas that are coming out of this, be mindful that you're looking at people, you're looking at individuals. You're not always looking for a Mickey Mouse kind of package, because that's not what it is. It's really way more complicated than that, and it always has been. So just be mindful that sometimes when a person might want a packaged answer, there is no packaged answer, and you got to get comfortable with that. Everybody has to get comfortable with that, including people who are Black and Brown, because sometimes Black and Brown people want packaged answers too, and there is no packaged answer for stuff. Honestly, I think that's one of the things that's making everyone more divided than anything, is that we're craving simplicity and we're craving things that are just going to fix everything immediately. And a lot of this stuff has been so deeply ingrained in all of us, not just in white society, because we all live in white society. It also is ingrained in us. There are things that I do and say in ways that I think that I have to recognize and say, wait a minute, is this perpetuating, a white supremacy kind of mindset? Is this perpetuating, something that's saying Black people can't do this or Black people can't do that? Is this perpetuating divisiveness? I have to do that. And if you say that you don't have to do that, then I'm going to tell you, you're a part of the problem.
Yeah. And one of the things that we talked about in depth is the difference between hate speech and Black Lives Matter. And many people have probably seen this all over the internet, all over social media, but it really simplified it for me in order to explain it to other people. One of the things I say, because I'm a mom and I can relay this easily to other parents, is if one of your children were sick, one of them was sick, you're going to focus on that child, getting that child better. Now, it would be selfish of your other child to say, but I matter in a time of crisis for the other child. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the point of Black Lives Matter. It's not that you don't matter, you know. Yes, everyone matters. But right now, we need to focus on the people that are not being treated fairly, that do not have equality. Once that is fixed, then it's fine. Yes, that's great. I mean, it's the same saying with if a house is on fire. You're not going to come out of your house if your neighbor's house is on fire and say, but what about my house? My house matters. Of course your house matters, but your house isn't the house on fire right now. So that's what, that's the idea of Black Lives Matter.
And also, I always encourage people, because I am not a group person, I'm going to tell you. That's one of the reasons why I like the idea of Twisted Hunger, because Twisted Hunger involves, it really stands for what your individual hunger is and promoting whatever that is, as long as that is doing no harm and as long as that is promoting light. Because I'm the person that wouldn't do, really, track was the most organized sport I could get in, because I don't like doing what everybody else does. And one of the reasons I'm saying that is because I will encourage you, do your research on things. I don't care if you're Black, white, brown, do your research on things. If you have a question about history, It's okay to ask another Black or Brown person, but also look it up yourself too. Look, take the time and invest and say, oh, hold on, what? Why are they saying, or why is it continue to say that, you know, some of this stuff is ingrained in our society, that is societal? What does this actually mean? How does it actually look, instead of automatically taking offense to it? Because a lot of times it's not saying that you as a person, because you're not Black, that you're not important, or because you're not Brown, that you're not important. It's saying that, hey, it's time to look at other people. We've looked at you. Mm-hmm. We've studied you. Let's look at other people and see what other people need as well. It also doesn't mean that whatever struggle you've gone through as a person who is white or who identifies as white, it doesn't mean that struggle doesn't matter. Because I heard some people say, well, I struggled, or I did this, or, you know, but it's different when it's a historical struggle versus mm-hmm. when it is your own individual struggle. And really briefly, when you look at the historical struggle, it means that there have been generations on top of generations that have suffered a certain thing. I can compare mm-hmm. it sometimes to women versus men type of thing. There are things that a man may not understand because it's historically been an issue that women have had. So a man can't all the way understand all of it, but he can be quiet enough, and he can observe, and he can listen, and he can learn, right? He can ask questions. Mm-hmm. He can make it not about being a man, but he can make it for that moment about being a woman and saying, okay, woman, you have the platform, teach me, right? So it's the same way when it comes to racial things. And I just want everybody to try to be more aware of it, and sometimes not talk. How about let's just be quiet. Let's listen and see what the other side is saying, because that's where that dialogue comes in. And if you're not mature enough to do that, then again, you really need to question yourself. I have to do it all the time. Natanya has to do it all the time. We talk about it in our friend circles. Like we said, we have such diverse friends and family, and we talk about this stuff on a regular basis to get more understanding. So just take a moment and do that. Just don't make it about you right now, and listen to what other people are, their struggle and what they're going through.
Yeah. And to add to that, in reference to the email, I also wanted to say, it's you're probably as a white person, or, you know, what, however you identify yourself as, you're going to kind of have to feel uncomfortable for a little bit. When you have the moments where you feel like, oh, I'm being discriminated against, or I'm being treated differently or unfairly, just take a second to think that there are people right now in 2020 that have been treated like that their entire life, always, constantly. It's a daily thing that they have to deal with. So if you feel that way for a moment, just think about that, like, oh man, there's people that feel this way every single day in their lives, that have to deal with this every single day, ongoing, you know, and they can't take off their skin, unfortunately. So it's just something that they've learned to deal with.
And I like to kind of compare it to COVID-19 in the sense that right now, whenever we wake up and before we walk out the door, we have to think about, okay, do I have my mask? Where am I going? How do I need to dress? You know, what are the requirements when I get there? Should I speak to people? Should I not? Are they going to be okay if I make eye contact and wave? You know, you question about going up to the register, how the transaction is going to go. I'm mm-hmm. going to speak from my perspective, and that's how I feel every day. And it's not in my head. It's not something that is just a concept that I have generated and I've been taught. It is actually something that, because my body is shaped the way it is, I have to wake up and I think, okay, well, let me make sure that I wear something. And I'm a small girl, but I have a shape. So I have to think, okay, well, what can I wear? Because I know I can't wear what somebody else that isn't Black might wear, because I will get more attention for my wearing and will look more people will say, and it will appear to them to be more sexual than it would be to someone else. I have to think about, how is my hair? I have natural hair. My hair is not straight. So I have to think about, is my hair going to be offensive to people? That sounds so crazy to say, but it's so true. Is my hair somehow going to be symbolic of them thinking that I am against the system because I want to wear my hair, but this is how my hair comes out of my head, you know? Are they going to think that my hair looks unprofessional even when I take an extremely long time to do my hair on a regular basis, but this is how my hair looks, you know? These are the things that we have to think about. My husband is not Black. And so when we go over people's house, I'm constantly asking him, do they know that I'm Black? And he says, yeah. And we've had that conversation. He says, well, why do you ask me that? And I say, well, I want to know what kind of environment I'm going in. Am I going in an environment where I need to guard? Am I going in an environment where I can just openly be myself and not have to code switch? And if you don't know what code switching is, look it up. Do I need to be soft when I go in? Do I need to be more, you know, submissive acting when I go in, so they won't label me as the loud, angry Black woman? You know, it's just so many things that you literally have to think about. I'll give you one more example. My son is, of course, not Black, and our neighbor put a gun up, a toy gun, a BB gun up on the back wall. And for him to get, they have this cute little routine where he goes and gets the gun. So, or cars or whatever that the neighbor puts on the back wall. So I'm walking out of my office and I walk to the back and I'm like, oh my God, there's a gun sitting there, you know? And it's because it's big, it's Black, it's like a rifle. And I quickly realized, no, that's a toy gun or whatever. But I thought to myself, when we have our Black son, I cannot allow my Black son to play with that gun, because my mixed son, you know, my Asian and Mexican son can walk around with that and it probably won't be looked at as a bad thing. And that's fine. But if my Black son, when he gets 12 years old, is playing with that, or me as his mom, if I'm even taking the gun away from my son or something like that, then it could quickly be looked at as something that's threatening, something that is dangerous. And these are not things that are in my head. These are things that actually happen in real life. Tamir Rice was one of those situations where he's playing with a fake gun and he's a kid, not even a teenager, and he was gunned down by police who did not ask questions. And I'm not an anti-police person. I'm just saying that these are the facts. This is what happened. Yes. So this is the kind of thing that we have to think about. The fear is real, that you have to think about on a regular basis.
Right.
So I want to put that out there, that this isn't something new. This is something that people have been dealing with, and it gets very tiring and people are tired of it. I'll pass the mic to you because I could go on forever.
I know. I mean, just to add to that, you know, I do have a Black husband who can be intimidating to people by his appearance. And I've witnessed my husband as code switch plenty of times, you know, because he has to make sure to speak up, you know, before he approaches somebody, you know, so they're not frightened. You know, I fear for my husband's life every time he leaves, I mean, and goes somewhere. If I don't hear from him, if he doesn't call me, if he doesn't text me, you know, are you okay? Are you good? Those are real life experiences, real life feelings that we feel on a daily basis. I mean, we could go on and on and on and on, of course. The one thing that I heard, Courtney, from somebody speaking once was, it's a good thing that, you know, Black people don't want revenge. We just want equality.
Yes. Oh, my God. I don't even think think that. Like, I mean,
that's not even. Yeah, that's not the thought at all. Yeah.
Let me backtrack that. I will say that I have never heard that. In any circle that I've ever been in. I've never heard of there being a desire for revenge. There's a desire to be seen.
Yeah, no.
And I'm not acting as the Black spokesperson, because there might be a sect of people out there that might think that way. I have never seen or experienced any of that. Although I do know that I have friends who are white who have been in circles where people have talked and had hate speech. I have not heard anybody have hate speech, because even when they say Black Lives Matter, that is not the same thing as saying that nobody else's life matters, versus something like the KKK says, no, only white lives matter and everybody else needs to, you know, move aside, die, whatever, you know. And that has to be a difference that's made. I don't go to rallies. I'm not a Black Lives Matter spokesperson or any of that stuff. So that's a disclaimer right there. But I'm saying overall that that's not what the message is about. So just be careful to not confuse that. And one more thing before we go to the next thing is that, and I'm not trying to be offensive when I say this, and I don't want to offend anybody, but we have to be careful about our own biases when it comes to racism, because sometimes some of the thoughts that we have are have notes of racism when we don't even realize it. So because a Black person wants to be equal does not make that Black person racist. So because a Black person speaks up does not make them violent, which is something that has been perpetuated throughout history, that when a Black person is passionate about something, that they're violent. I mean, we even experienced this. I have experienced this even in the workplace and conversations and everything. When I'm passionate about something, somebody will say that I'm violent, and I'm not even being violent. I'm getting a point across, whereas another person can be slamming their fist on the table and they're not considered to be being aggressive, you know? So that's another thing, is that when people are speaking up, it doesn't mean that they want to harm you. So if you're automatically thinking that because this person's speaking up, they want to harm me, step back a little bit, you know, and just check yourself. I'm not saying that they're not, listen. Just check yourself and just listen for a minute. Just observe.
Yeah. So the other thing that we wanted to speak about, which is something so like real in my life, is, okay, so we've mentioned this before. I mean, if any of you've ever seen a picture of me, I obviously come off as a Black individual, African American, and I've spoken very loudly and proudly that I am Hispanic. I am Afro-Latina. However, that has put me in a really odd place in life, because amongst the Black community, and Courtney's been around me and experienced this, when I voice that I'm not African American, I'm Hispanic, I'm shunned. Like, no, you're not, you're Black. And one of the things that I am very vocal about is that the color of your skin does not define you in a race.
Right.
My mother is several shades darker than me, and she is Panamanian, has the strongest Panamanian accent, and her first language is Spanish. English is her second language. My father is several shades lighter than me, and he is Hispanic, Puerto Rican,
from Puerto Rico.
From Puerto Rico, yes. I have aunts and uncles who are, for lack of a better word, complexion wise, they are considered white. So it's been a struggle for me my entire life to be accepted into an actual race, because I do not fluently speak Spanish. So in the Hispanic population, I am also shunned because, I am brown skin and I do not speak Spanish. So I have dealt with colorism my entire life. And it's been a frustrating thing, but I honestly wouldn't choose to be anything else. The fact that I'm Afro-Latina, I'm like so proud of that, because I'm kind of in this really special place where I can be amongst, I'm trying to think of like the best way to word this.
You get Courtney. The best of all worlds. You get some of the best,
yeah,
but you get the best too, you know?
Yeah. I'm thankful for who I am. I'm thankful for what I am. I wouldn't choose to be anything else, you know, even through the struggles that I've had with like self-identifying myself as what race I am. But, you know, my brother actually, he really, really enjoys looking into our history, and it is crazy. I mean, it's really, really crazy, but it's really, really interesting to learn how my family came about, you know, how I'm the color I am and how my mom is the color she is. And it's just, it's interesting. And I want to say that I can't, like Courtney said earlier, I can't speak for, you know, all Black people. I can't speak for all Afro-Latinas. I can't speak for all Latinas, because the whole African-American experience is so different and so diverse for every single person. And we really can't be classified in just one category as African-American.
And I think the beauty and the sadness of that is that the reason why there is so much diversity was because of the slave trade. And so you cannot separate when people say, oh, that was the past, but the past is living in our blood. So whether you're from Puerto Rico, whether you're from Panama or any of the islands or whatever, the reason why there are so many different complexions in that brown and Black is so complicated is because of slavery in all different kind of forms. So the African-American experience of slavery, of course, was still different than slavery in other places, but it still happened. I also want to mention that as a construct of the notion that slave masters wanted to be apparent, which is that the lighter you are, it's like a pyramid scheme. The lighter you are, the closer you are to white. And that's where the colorism sometimes comes in as well, is that people of color can discriminate against one another because they're lighter or they're darker or whatever. And we even have a hard time classifying it. So my experience as an African-American may be different than Natanya's experience, even though we're the same complexion, or I'm a little bit darker. And
this is something we always fight about.
Like I'm darker. I feel like I'm darker.
But we can use the same foundation. It's really weird.
But the thing is that there's undertones, which is why, you know, makeups like Fenty products, like Rihanna stuff and everything is so important, because, you know, and this is another thing that we're not going to get crazy into, but we felt isolated for so long, even in the beauty world, that now when I walk in the store and see like all kind of color ranges, I'm like, oh my God, like I can actually pick out makeup, you know, because I remember going to a makeup counter in Kentucky, and my sister-in-law is Mexican-American, and they told her that they don't have any makeup in her color. She asked them, could they order it? And they said, no, they can't order it. So
I think that's one of the reasons why I don't wear foundation now, because I would buy foundation and it would never match and I would waste my money.
And like, that is, it sounds so silly to say, but that's just an example of why racism is so important to highlight, just because it literally is a part of our everyday lives and it's not something you just get used to. It's something that constantly makes you feel isolated. So when I go and I want to buy makeup, I can't find makeup in our complex. You know what I mean? Like now you can, and that's just recent, you know, but it wasn't always like that. So consider that, think about it. I think the last thing we wanted to, the one of the last points we wanted to hit on this was the black white girl thing, because both of us go through this, which we hate it.
Why you talk so proper, girl?
Why are you in all the advanced classes? Why are you, you know, why are you into
why you talk white?
Why you talk white? Why you dress like that? You don't know this song? Let me tell you, my family, the reason why I listen to all kind of music is because, and this is another thing about race, where my parents grew up, there were not black radio stations. So they listened to all kind of music. They had to. So I grew up listening to all kind of music. I don't consider it white. I consider it me and what me and my family like to listen to. So things like that that we hear are not a compliment. I and I've said this to my friends on a regular basis, don't call me white. Like, I'm black. I want you to know I'm black. I like being black, just like you might like being Hispanic or white or whatever it is. And I also want you to know that you're with a black person. So if something goes down, just know that, you right. know, it, you know, we, I hate to say it, but we could get pulled over because you're with the wrong person.
Well, I think, well, I hope that this addressed the email. And I do want to say that Courtney and I are probably the most diverse, like, inclusive people you'll ever meet. I have partied with Courtney at country clubs,
yep.
country bars.
Copperhead Road is one of our favorite songs, just to let you know.
Yeah, yeah. And I have jammed with her in a predominantly black club. Yep. I have partied with her in Nashville. I've partied with her in Kentucky. I mean,
we love Spanish music. We love.
Yes. Don't let Suave Mente come on. So that's like, just to sum all this up, just to make sure that we, you know, Twisted Hunger stance is inclusion and light, you know, and however you do that, as long as you're not causing harm to someone else or something, that's what we stand for, and that's what we stand for, and I think I cannot say that's pretty much what me and Courtney live for. Like, that
it's who we are, and let's just be honest, I don't say things just for PG, and you don't either. I think that we are constantly looking to reevaluate things and to understand things, and mm-hmm. sometimes that can be uncomfortable. So it's not that we try to make everything comfortable and just, you know, gloss over everything, because I know people could probably think that that's what we're trying to do. And it's not. It's just that I just believe there's a way, and the Twisted Hunger way is the belief that there's always a way to approach certain things, even if we're not equipped with it at the time. So we do forgive ourselves when we do have biases or whatever. And we encourage you to do that too. But we also have to recognize that sometimes light has to be shed on things, and that can be uncomfortable. But all growth causes for some kind of discomfort. It just does. So we love all of you, and we continue wanting to hear from you. I hope that none of that sounded as if we were trying to pick on anybody, because that definitely was not the case. We do believe in equality among everybody, that one should not be over the other, but we also believe that we have to spread light, and we hope that you decide to do that with us.
This is for you again. Yep, you, the person listening. So we ask that you go to our website, www.twistedhunger.com, super simple, and explore a little bit. Go to our blog, read some of what we've been talking about. Also, try to give us some suggestions about what you might want to hear next season. We always, always encourage you to get your voice out there, and if there's someone you would like to nominate, don't feel shy about emailing us or filling out our interest form. Again, welcome to The Twist.
don't know what I sent it to your email because that's what you asked me.
No, I told you. You said that it was sounding bad on my phone, so I said just send it to my
to your email.
No. You said I was sounding weird on my computer, so I was on my phone.
Oh, that is right.
You're absolutely right. I think you be doing stuff just to piss me off. I really think
I'm not going to confirm or deny. Let's get into our topic of COVID life.
We could have literally had a segment of COVID life on each episode because, like, we've been recording, we've been doing this podcast since March. So March, April, May, June. We've been doing this podcast for 5 months. This is episode 13.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So this is the segment COVID life.
So I kind of feel like I woke up and it was March, and then I woke up and then it was July and nothing's changed.
Yeah, it's this is literally today. Like I'm reminiscing back to episode one. I'm sitting in the same spot. And what we're about to talk about is kind of similar to what was going on when we recorded episode one. It's actually almost exactly the same.
The only difference, I think, well, the big difference is that my location has completely shifted and I don't have any drink beside me but water.
Yes, I have water beside me too, because when I listened back to the first episode, I told you this, Courtney, but I was definitely drinking. And I don't know how nobody complained, because I could hear myself slurping. I could hear the ice chinging in my glass. I could hear all that. So I'm definitely drinking water now. But one of the things that we spoke about was the school situation.
If you notice, I'm taking to doing a lot of deep breathing lately.
That's good. So when we recorded the first episode, school had just been canceled, or not canceled, but school had just been switched to digital learning for the remainder of the year here in the state of in Georgia, in the county that I live. Right now, there's talks, there's works, there's plans are in the work for the upcoming school year, which was supposed to start August 5th. Now what is going on right now, because this is an ever-evolving situation, like
minute to minute.
It literally might be different when we release this episode, like, but right now as we're recording, this is what's going on. So my county, the largest school county in the state of Georgia, has decided to give parents the option of in-person learning, which they go to school like normal, or digital learning, which they do virtual. And that decision had to have been made a week ago on July 12th. And you had to make that decision for your child for the entire semester. Since we've made that decision, every surrounding county surrounding my county that I live in has decided to switch to completely digital for all students. And when I mean every county, Courtney, I mean every single county.
So you guys are really the sore thumb.
Like, we really are. And it's my feelings right now, I am so, like, I feel like I'm, my heart is feeling one way and my mind is feeling a different way. My heart is aching for my kids because they want to go to school so bad, you know? They miss their friends, they miss school, they miss normalcy in their life, and they want to go so bad. My mind is looking at the cases in the state of Georgia rapidly increasing at a crazy amount, and testing options are being limited in the state of Georgia. If you were to get a COVID test, right now, the turnaround time is 8 to 14 days.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So essentially, what is happening is people are getting tested and they're starting to feel better before they get their results. So they're assuming, I can't have COVID. I feel great, you know? So then they're continuing to go out into the world, and then they get their results, you know? So what the hope is that our county will switch to an all virtual start for all students, because it's like it's so hard to make the decision. It's everything is changing moment by moment, and I would just feel so much better if the county just said, you know what, we're all digital.
Yeah, it's the same thing on this end with when it comes to feeling the pressure, because here it is two options that we just found out about. One option is to do hybrid, where your kid goes to school 2 days out of the week, and the other option is to do all digital. The weird thing is that I just cannot imagine 5-year-olds wearing a mask all day from 7 in the morning to 3, or however school long school is. I can't see my kid doing that, and I don't know if it's fair to ask him to do that. And but we still have to work. So if I am going to, and I'm going to be starting a different job. If I'm going to a different job and they say, hey, you got to come into work, then who's going to watch our kid? Because my spouse is military. So
He has to go.
he's got to do what he's got to do, so it's one of those things that, man, it's really hard. And I don't want to sound like pessimistic, because it's not pessimism, but I'm trying to simplify kind of the decision. And I'm like, okay, well, the thing is that I have to remember that this is kind of life and death stuff, and it really kind of hit home more this week, I think, because I've been talking to people more about what their decisions are going to be about their kid. And it's been a lot of people that I know who have had very close calls, and young people who have died, and parents who have died, grandparents who have died, friends who have died. And it sounds like no matter, I might get it, or my kid might get it, and we're okay, but is my husband going to be okay? It's that kind of thing for me. So it's like, is sending my kid to school literally a life and death type of decision? That's kind of floating in the air for me right now, is thinking
That's
about it
the
in that kind
decision.
of way.
That's what it is. Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like I'm making a choice between my kids' mental health and physical health, and I think everybody knows how much of an advocate I am for, you know, mental health. So that worries me, and it worries me because I also wonder what would be the lasting effects. You know what I mean?
Of not sending them to school or sending them to school.
Both.
In
Both.
reality, honestly, we don't know.
Yeah,
And
because
that's one of the things we have to think about, because we don't know.
yeah, and it's I mean, like last night, well, yesterday, my county had a board meeting, and I actually listened into it because I just was like, come on, just take the choice away and just tell us it's digital, and then let us be able to plan and figure stuff out. You know what I mean? Because I'd rather them say it's digital, and then I can go and figure devise a plan for my kids, get my kids situated and have the these this time to do that, versus, you know, making the choice myself and like not they really don't have it figured out. You know what I mean? And that scares the crap out of me.
Especially since it's only like, what, 2 weeks away?
Well, yeah, I mean, they pushed it back a week, so we have like, yeah, we have 3 weeks. I mean, it's gut-wrenching. Like, it's, I mean, it is, I don't know, Courtney. It's literally something that I think about nonstop. I was up all night. I couldn't sleep. I mean, I have anxiety, so that's already a thing. So now I have more anxiety.
Well, another thing, and we're not trying to make people anxious. We're just being honest about what's in our minds. Mm-hmm. But another thing that is legitimate fear that I think that came up for me is that, and a lot of parents, is that, okay, so my kid goes to school, okay, and my kid comes home and they're a kid, so they're not all clean and all the kind of stuff. They're nasty, honestly. He comes home or she comes home, and then me or my husband gets sick. That's food coming out of my kid's mouth because we're going to have to miss work. So what happens when I miss work? And, you know, it could have been minimized by keeping my kid home versus sending them to school. But then again, there's a dilemma of what do you do either way?
Yeah. And I also want to say this. I am not judging anyone for their decision. Because literally that's what's going on right now here in my county. You know, people are so like adamant on, you know, everybody has to do this, and it's not going to work for everybody. You know what I mean? I already had to make a decision, and like, honestly, we did choose in person. We did because of work, because of my kid's mental health. It's several other reasons. It's personal to, you know, each one of my children. They're Amina yesterday. We went on a walk yesterday and we walked by a park, and Amina literally had like an emotional breakdown because I would not let her go to the park. And I'm trying to explain to a 6-year-old, she just turned 6, why she can't play at the park. And even if she wears her mask, there's too many people over there. And why she, as a 6-year-old, can't go to this park. Like, I mean it, like, I literally couldn't make sense of it, like, trying to explain it to her. She just could not grasp it. And it makes me think, like, okay, there's no way that my child is going to go to school and keep her mask on all day and not stay away from other people. Like,
so her freaking out about being a kid freaks you out about school even more.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, okay.
And it's heartbreaking because she just, like, literally she just wants to play. You know what I mean? She just wants to play. So now she's crying, right? And she's putting her hands in her face. And I'm like, no! Don't wipe your face! So, like, I mean, like, so we just ended up laughing because I was just like, oh my gosh, she can't even cry now because we're in public. She can't put her hands in her face. No, don't wipe your snot. No, stop! So I mean I know we're gonna make it. Thank God my job is so accommodating. I've set up my home office and I will be working remotely.
Oh god, I'm so thankful for that.
I am so thankful, and I'm just, you know, whatever happens, we're gonna deal with it, and we're gonna adjust, and we're gonna talk about it. You know, I'm sure we can make it work. We'll make it work.
And the other thing to think about is also that kids are super resilient.
Yes.
More so than we are even.
Yes.
You know, if you think about things, adjustments that you've had to make as a kid, then they're super resilient, and they will probably end up adapting to this way better than we do, even mm-hmm. though they don't understand what is going on right now. But I like how you're taking the perspective of, we're going to be okay no matter what. Whatever we have to do, we're just going to take it a day at a time, and we're going to have to make decisions as we go. Because let's be honest, that's really all any of us can do right now.
Yeah, that's my plan. But the really great thing about all of this, Courtney, is this podcast.
I think so too.
It's just been so great, and it's really been a stress reliever for me. It's really allowed me to be vulnerable. It's allowed me to have time with my best friend.
And grow. You know, I really think from the beginning until now, we have personally, professionally, all of the above, grown so much. And even when it comes to like making mistakes in our podcast or the editing right. not being perfect and us just having to accept it, like radical yes. acceptance of, okay, this is what it's going to be. We have to let it go. Doesn't matter if it's perfect or not, whatever. So it's been wonderful. We have a lot of other things that we want to do because we have decided to do a season 2. So hopefully. Wait,
there's good news and there's bad news.
Okay, what's the bad news?
Well, wait, do you normally like the bad news first or do you like the good news? If I said I have good news and I have bad news, what do you want to hear first?
Believe it or not, I like to begin with the bad stuff and then top it off with the good stuff because I want to leave with the good stuff, you know?
Okay.
So
okay.
let's do that.
So the bad news is we are going to take a break from releasing new episodes weekly.
Wait, I don't think that's all that bad.
That's not that bad because the good news is, tell them the good news, Courtney. Tell them the good news.
Okay, so the good, well, first, I'm going to back up just a little bit because during that break, we're going to be getting some much needed rest because we've been working our tails off in all kind of ways. We've had all kind of changes and we do like to live what we teach what we say, walk the talk, whatever it is. And we need a break. So I think that is, especially with trying to figure out kid stuff and,
yes,
you know, school stuff and work stuff is changing and all of that kind of stuff. So trust me, we need that. But the good thing is that when we come back, we have a good lineup of guests that we have coming on. We're going to get more business people and figure out what's going on with them, how they're making it work. There's so many beautiful things that are happening right now when it comes to people like using their ingenuity to make stuff work during these hard times. And I think that people need to hear about that. So that's going to be really awesome. Our sound is going to be better next time because we've learned so much good things. Yes. So we're making those investments. Our social media is going to be a little bit different because we've learned a lot about that too. So going to be putting some power towards that and hoping that you guys you like it and that you get to know us a little bit better. And we're going to be talking more so about school stuff too. Because we didn't do a lot of that, although we planned on it in the beginning, simply because there was no school. There wasn't no school
also,
going on.
Also, we did plan on talking more about fitness and that was something we strayed away from. And I am in talks with my trainer and we really hope to have her on soon. That was kind of like, for when she hears this episode, that was kind of like a, you need to come on.
So, that was that pressure. Yeah. So you're becoming a pusher too. Push it.
Yeah.
Push it.
Push. Yeah.
So we hope that you guys stick with us when we come back. We're going to have more stories, more adventures, all kind of things up our sleeve for you. So just get ready for the diversity. Get ready for us being weirdly us because you can't really put us in a box, which is why it is Twisted Hunger. And we just want to say to everybody, thank you so very much. Yes, we're honored that even one person listened, okay? But we actually got way more responses than we thought when it came to people listening. So we appreciate you.
Amazing.
And we hope that you continue to do it. Do you have anything else to say before we say our goodbyes?
Yeah, just thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Keep listening because we have a lot of good content. So if you jumped in late, go back to episode 1. Listen, this is our 13th episode. So we have 13 wonderful episodes for you to listen to. And you know, you never know, we might pop in with a surprise episode during our hiatus.
Yes, we might. And if you want to be a part of our podcast, let us know. That's how all of our other guests have gotten on. So just let us know. Shoot us an email or whatever. If you have any questions, like the person that sent an email today, we appreciate it. Absolutely. We enjoy that you try to interact with us. And we want to hear more about it because we're real people bringing real stories. And we want to just make sure that we get everybody's twisted hunger out there.
Yep.
So last but not least, I think we should say this part together.
You want to?
I think we haven't done it yet. So you ready?
Okay, yeah.
All right. One, two,
three. Welcome to the